Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I gave you all an update last week, and like it or not, I'm going to give you another one today. It's just, you know, the most appropriate thing to do. I believe we told you that this past week a large old fuel oil tank was removed from the backyard of the parsonage. Does that ring a bell for anyone?
Yeah.
This was brought up. They pulled it out on Wednesday. Judy and I were around on that day. I'll be up front with you. I was really tense during it. What are they going to find? What are they going to find? They pulled it up, and long story short, it was uneventful. It came out clean. The tank was completely intact. The crew that pulled it out said it was bone dry. And the inspector who was there during the process, his eyeball diagnosis was that it was completely clean around it as well. There was no visible sign of any kind of leakage or anything that would cause a big problem, which is candidly really good. It's not official until the formal report comes back this week. That's expected to be sometime in the next couple days or so. Now, technically speaking, the group that is buying or has put in this proposal to buy the current site, technically they have until late December to remove any contingencies, any other feasibility issues on their offer. But they don't have to wait that long to do it. That's just the longest that they have to do it. And the indications right now, and as I've told you several times, it can change like that. But the indications right now is that they intend to remove those contingencies by the end of this week. By Thursday or Friday, December 3rd or December 4th. If that happens, then we enter into a 15-day closing period, and then we would receive, candidly, one big lump sum payment. That does not mean that we would be out of here by Christmas. We would not. At a minimum, I can tell you that. We will be celebrating Christmas in this building, in this space. We will figure out some way to work with them for a transition process, assuming that all goes through. And let's be honest, I don't know how many of you have moved, but I've moved a lot. And it takes some time. You know, Sarah and I have been married now for 11 years. We have moved, I think, 8 times, if I remember correctly. In fact, at one point, I think it was the first 6 years of our marriage, is that right? That we actually averaged more moves than we had years of marriage. We weren't fleeing anybody. It was just how it was working out. Seminary and all that stuff. But that's the latest on it right now. Things are progressing. Things are progressing candidly, smoothly, and fairly rapidly. It looks very promising that this is going to go through. The offer that we have on that site that we have toured at North City is still in place. And again, no, it is not perfect. Yes, we would have to do some things to it. But it is looking very promising as a potential home for our worshiping body as well as the other organizations that operate out of this space. They have also been notified. Almost all of them have been notified about where things stand. I need to contact the rest of them today, actually. And by and large, they have all expressed an interest in coming with us, which is fantastic. It means that we can continue those partnerships and deepen those relationships. And for those of you who are purely pragmatists, it also means we still have all of that rental income coming in. So let's be honest, that's nice. Be not afraid. How many times have I said that? How many times have we said that? I know for some of you it's already gotten old. Tough! It's in Scripture. Be not afraid. But there was a second half to that that I have failed to remind us of at times this year. Be not afraid, for God is with us. That's why. That's why be not afraid, because we are not alone. you think back months upon months ago, we made this decision as a community. And we've been dealing with this process as a community. And God is leading us as a community. Sometime after Christmas, somewhere probably in the midst of preparing to move, assuming again that that goes through, I would like to set up another series of house meetings, similar to what we did earlier this year. A time for us to come together and talk and listen and pray and discern. And let's be blunt, probably cry and laugh and share stories. Because preparing for what our future looks like is something we have to do together. We need that. We need a chance to check in and to evaluate and plan for the future. Today's reading was kind of dry. Did you follow it at all? It's okay if you didn't. I had to read it a couple times myself. The basic story of what was going on in that reading is that the king, Josiah, did you notice what age he was when he became king?
Eight.
Why wasn't that commented on more in the reading? That was my first thought. An eight-year-old was your king and you just kind of footnote that? Congratulations that you didn't get invaded sooner. 18 years after he becomes king, he sends for this work crew to go do work on the temple, right, in Jerusalem. That's what was going on here. Because the temple has fallen into disrepair. And while the crew is there, while people are doing their work on the building and such, they come across this book. The law, they say. They come across this book of the law. Probably a copy of the book of Deuteronomy. Or portions thereof. And people start reading it and they go, wow, this is amazing stuff. And they start sharing it with one another. It leads to this last bit where the people join the king in entering into this covenant with God. That was the nutshell version of today's reading. So why was the temple in bad shape to begin with? The people were worshiping idols. This is 100 years after the northern kingdom has collapsed, after Israel has fallen to the Assyrians. Judah's the only one that's left. For those of you who don't know, at one point the kingdom of Israel broke in half, and there was Israel and Judah. So now you've got these two, and then this one's gone, and now you've just got the one. So Judah has the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has the temple. The temple is there, but the temple has basically fallen into disrepair because people just don't care. And more in particular, the kings don't care. The kings have been worshiping idols. The kings have been worshiping false gods and bringing people into that. And if you've paid attention the last several weeks, we've heard several examples of that, of various kings who have promoted various forms of idolatry and such. And so Josiah's motivation when he sends that work crew to the temple is not a pious motivation. Josiah does not send this work crew to the temple because he wakes up one day and says, you know what? We got to go fix that temple. Exactly, Lukos, thank you. We got to go fix that temple because it's fallen apart. Because we want to go worship God and make that place look great. No, he wakes up one day, he looks outside and says, man, that place is ugly. That thing's an eyesore, people. Go fix that so I don't have to look at it anymore. And while the crew is out there doing their work, that's when the people come across this book. They come across the Holy Scriptures, and they start going, oh, yeah. I seem to recall hearing something about that. There was this thing we used to do. Some of you remember weeks, maybe months ago this summer, I talked about when the people first asked God for a king. People said to God, we want to be like all of the other people out there. We have no king right now. We just have you, and you're great, but you know, we can't see you. Give us a human king. And God said to them, this will not end well. Put your faith in human beings. This will not end well. They're going to let you down. They kept harassing and harassing, and finally God said, okay, you'll have your king. And over time, exactly what was predicted happened, and the kingdoms fell, and all of this stuff that we read about in today's reading. This covenant that the people made with God at the end of the reading today, was it a new thing? Was it a new covenant? Not really. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's basically, it's people waking up one day and saying, hey, we're going to reclaim what we have already been promised. We're going to devote ourselves to the hope that we already have in you. We have a new hope, and it's the same as the old hope. That expression, what is it, the new king, same as the old king, or never mind. Not a good expression. There you go. The king has said the hope is dead, long live the hope. The hope is not dead. They have refound what they have already had, what they've always had, what had always been promised to them. They have this new hope, and it is the same as the old hope. What was the candle that got lit today? Hope. The four candles in the Advent wreath. And today we talked about hope. It's that saying in Scripture, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things unseen. This whole process that we have been going through has been an exercise in faith and an exercise in hope. And that is not easy. But God has been and will be faithful to us throughout this entire process. If we move to a new site, that will not mean that we are no longer Bethel. And it will not mean that we are no longer people of God. The new hope that we are moving towards for our community is the same as the old hope. Is the hope in Christ. Is the hope and faith in the promise of God. The promise that we will, that we can be still and let God be God. In the reading today, the motivation of the people who worked on the temple was purely pragmatic. They looked at their situation and they realized that something needed to change. And yet, in that pragmatic decision, they found an opportunity for new life. They found an opportunity to recommit themselves to God, and they found new growth and prosperity through that. I hope that sounds familiar to you. The reasons behind our decisions have had tints of pragmatism. I cannot pretend otherwise. But there is something bigger and something more divine in the midst of all of that. God is not done with us yet. And for that matter, never will be. We continue to grow into what we have always been called into. And that is a life of discipleship to Christ. Be not afraid, for God is with us and always has been, even when we didn't notice. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for the chance to gather together. We thank you for the blessings we have received in your name. We ask you to continue to bless us with your love and presence. Help us to find ways to walk faithfully with you, to trust in you, and to know that all of this comes and goes for your glory. Help us to feel your peace and your strength. And we pray all of this trusting in your holy name. Amen.